In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. The Lord's parable, brothers and sisters, of the rich man and Lazarus offers us a vision of heaven and of hell, of eternal reward and of eternal misery. Someone said, hell and heaven are concepts used to control and frighten people. That was said to a pastor by one of his parishioners. The author of the book, Heaven is for Real, this pastor. The book is about his son who was had an emergency appendicitis and operation. And during the operation, the son would later testify. He recovered and came through it, but he would testify of the things he saw. To begin with, he saw the operating table. He was above the operating table in the hospital, and he saw his mother was in another room in the hospital calling people. His father was in the hospital chapel yelling at God, complaining that they would lose their 4-year-old son. And he would tell them, after he recovered, that he saw these things. He also saw Jesus and the angels, which for a pastor's son probably is not particularly surprising, but two of the striking things he saw was that he saw, he said that his grandfather, Pop, he saw Pop on the other side, which was his father's father, and he had never met him in this life. The man had passed on before he was born, and so they found a picture of him, of the grandfather, and he said, and it was, well, it was a picture from the grandfather later in life. He said, no, in heaven they don't wear glasses. So the pastor literally went up in the attic to find a picture of his father from his younger years, from his prime years, and he showed that to the son, and he said, yes, that's him, that's Pop. In heaven they don't grow old. So that was one thing, but the other one, moving was one day he was in the kitchen with his mother. She was doing things, and he said to her, I met my other sister. She said, you don't have another sister, you only have one sister. He said, no, the sister that was in your belly, I met that sister. That was apparently a miscarriage or stillbirth. She said, yes, I met my sister in heaven. I think that at that point the mother, whatever she was doing, she dropped a dish on the floor or something. But and the mother said, well, what's her name? She said, you didn't give her a name. So these are things that he saw on the other side, amongst other things, which are striking. In any event, in speaking of heaven and hell, priests fear to sound like just another fundamentalist preacher trying to scare people about hell. But we must ask, what was our Lord's motivation in telling us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? It is his parable, it's his story. And by telling it to the apostles, he's telling it to us all. The life that begins here has an eternal destiny beyond death. The life that begins here sets the table for the life beyond. The rich man set his table, and Lazarus set his table. In the eternal beyond, those tables are turned. The tables are turned. The good life lived by the rich man was in the end not so good. Not so good. The hard life lived by Lazarus opened him in the end to eternal comfort and a truly good life. Christ told us, the measure you give will be the measure you receive. The rich man took everything and gave nothing. He took everything life had to offer and gave nothing back. Lazarus took nothing and gave everything. A sacrificed life of poverty and misery. One could argue that Lazarus didn't have much choice in the matter. And we might speculate that maybe he was an orphan or that he was disabled from early on. But the rich man had choices. The rich man had choices for how to live and how he could live. Brothers and sisters, most of us should identify ourselves with the rich man. With the rich man. We are not Lazarus at the door. We're the rich man. because we have choices too. We are not utterly destitute. We have options for our mercy. And even the poor widow gave her 2 pennies, her 2 mites. St. Gregory the theologian said, every good and God-beloved soul, when it has been released by death from the body with which it was united, immediately experiences the joy and pleasure which it shall enjoy in full measure in the future. And though immediately after death the enjoyment is small, after, when it shall again receive its body at the resurrection of the dead, it shall enjoy blessings in perfect measure. St. Gregory. St. John Chrysostom. After death, no unrepentant person can escape the consequences of his sins. But just as prisoners are led out of their cells, bound in chains and brought before the court, so are all souls when they depart hence. They bring with themselves their chains of sin, before the dread judgment seat. That which we cultivate here goes with us, for better or for worse. St. Irenaeus of Lyon, writing early in the church, 2nd century, 3rd century, said, Christ came that he might slay sin, render death null and void, and give life to mankind. He was made flesh in order that he might destroy death and bring us to life, for we are tied and bound in sin. St. Hilaire of Poitiers, an early Western saint, he said, there is hope of mercy in time and eternity, but there is confession in time only and not in eternity. There is no confession of sins in any time except in this present life. By his own will, each man is permitted and has throughout life the freedom to choose confession. But when we die, we lose life, and along with it, the right to exercise our will. St. Jerome, another great early Western saint, says, while we have time, therefore, let us do good to all, especially, however, to those of the household of the faith. He's quoting scripture there. The time for sowing, as we have said, is the present time, and in the life we now lead. He says, in this life we can sow what we will, but when this life is over, the time for works is at an end. Whence also the Savior says, work while it is yet day, the night will come when no one shall be able to work. St. Mark the Ascetic. Everyone receives what he or she deserves in accordance with their inner state. On the other side. But only God understands the many different ways in which this happens. St. Mark also said, just as the thought is made manifest through actions and words, so is our future reward the impulses of the heart. Thus, a merciful heart will receive mercy, while a merciless heart will receive the opposite. St. Gregory of Nyssa, brother of St. Basil, says, He, Christ, he that desires all to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, shows thereby the most perfect and blessed way of salvation, the way, I say, of love. So the way of love is the way of salvation. The great Greek Orthodox priest, author, Father Anthony Koniaris writes, we are the ones who create hell when we use the gift of free will that God gave us to say no to him. So when we use our gift of free will to say no, we create our own hell. He says, to exclude God from our lives is to be in hell. God did not create us for hell. He created us for the kingdom of heaven. We are the ones who create hell for ourselves through our prideful rebellion and disobedience. Having been created free, man cannot be forced into a union with God. He is allowed the privilege of facing the eternal consequences of either his yes or his no to God. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't punish us. We punish ourselves is the continual message of the Holy Fathers. St. Gregory of Nyssa again, he said, we cannot describe those joys which await those who have lived according to God's will, nor can we compare the suffering of sinners in hell with anything similar occurring on this earth. A woman asked the elder Paisias. She said, if I were in paradise and I had a son in hell, would I be able to see him? Would he be able to see me? The elder answered her, if we're in a living room with the lights on and it's night outside, we can't see out. But the people outside can see in. It's the same way in paradise. Because if the people in paradise could see the people in hell, it wouldn't be paradise. So says the elder Paisias. So in the parable, the rich man can see Lazarus, but there's no indication that Lazarus sees the rich man in the flames. There was a Latin saint who said one of the joys of heaven would be enjoying to see the justice meted out upon those in hell, the suffering of the sinners, which is not an orthodox sentiment, and clearly not a sentiment of the elder, that we would somehow rejoice in the punishment of sinners. And the elder says that it wouldn't even be right for those, it wouldn't be paradise if that was part of paradise. The elder had knowledge about the state of those who had departed this life. By the grace of God, having a pure soul, he was deemed worthy to see the souls of people at the time they were leaving the earth and ascending towards heaven. He also knew the state of some of those who had passed on, had fallen asleep. When asked, he would answer about the soul of a departed person according to the state he saw it in. For example, he might say, God has granted rest to your mother's soul. Or, you should do alms in his name. Or, let us pray to the Lord so he will grant him rest. And so there's a teaching there that we can respond. We can serve and help the departed by our prayers, by almsgiving, by offerings in their memory. We don't say how. We don't measure it. We don't put a scorecard on it. But the teaching is, as the elder points out, do alms in his name, pray that we can improve and help the state of those gone before us. The elder once said, I wanted to know about the first nun who lay in the cemetery at the Soroti Monastery. The elder later in life lived in the Soroti Women's Monastery in the mainland in Greece. He was on Mount Athos earlier. And so a young nun died. And he prayed about that in his vision. He had a vision of her soul. He said, they brought her to me in their arms. I guess the angels. As though they were holding a baby. And they told me, this is the soul of Magdalene. She was in a very good spiritual state, as high a state as an ascetic I knew who practiced asceticism for years. So this young nun, apparently who probably had a life of suffering, a short life of suffering and challenging, and departed this life, had reached the state of a great and long time struggler in the spiritual life. St. Paul says in our epistle today, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He continues, and scholars think this is an early hymn of the church that's in the Bible. It's in the scriptures. He says, this is a faithful saying. For if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Critics would accuse us of being Christians only because we're trying to escape from hell. No, we are Christians who are trying to escape to heaven. Trying to escape to heaven. We choose life in this life. We choose eternal life in this earthly life. Bishop Callistos Ware writes, if anyone is in hell, it is not because God has imprisoned him there, but because that is where he himself has chosen to be. He says, the lost in hell are self-condemned. They are self-enslaved. It has been rightly said that the doors of hell are locked on the inside. finally seeing Cyprian of Carthage. He says, here on earth, life is either kept or lost. Here on earth, life is either kept or lost. Here on earth, by the worship of God and by the fruit of faith, provision is made for eternal salvation. Let no one be kept back either by their sins or by their years from coming to salvation. To him, to her, who still remains in this world, there is no repentance that is too late. There is no repentance while we're still in this life that is too late. So brothers and sisters, I believe all of you should be in heaven, that you should make it to heaven. There's no reason for anyone here to be lost. I believe that you can do it. I trust that you can do it. You have to believe it and you have to want it. But there's no reason that we all shouldn't be united in this life and the life to come. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.